Welcome to episode
20
of WoW Geekly, a weekly podcast about the World of Warcraft with a streak of geek. This episode was recorded on
Wednesday,
the
26th
of
March,
2014. Please remain as you are and let your auditory receptors give a warm, geekly welcome to your hosts, Asheo and Jeppy.
Good morning and welcome to WoW Geekly, episode number 20. And joining me is No Lull, Two Cloaks, Asheo, all the way from down under. Good morning, Asheo.
Morning, mate. How you doing?
Yeah, ups and ups and a few downs and downs, but yeah, bobbling along.
As long as there's plenty of ups.
The ups do measure up against the downs, so it's not so bad.
Awesome. Very good. Look at that. We made it to 20.
I know. Nobody would have bet money on that.
No.
I certainly bet against it. Yeah. I lost a lot of money, actually, to be honest. Now I feel really upset. Oh, well.
It must be a bit of a record for you.
It is. Normally, the podcast is well dead by now. You know, and in all honesty, if I knew this one was going to go on longer, I probably would have invested a wee bit more time in it.
Well, it's never too late.
Yeah. You know, we've always got to move towards the... Actually, 25, I guess, is going to be the one we pull out the bunting for. The all Silver right. Jubilee.
If you like.
And we'll be sending out 99 silver to people who listen.
Lashing
big
out.
Competition.
Lashing out, mate. It's awesome. Better start making some money on the auction house.
I'm sure you'll have tips for us later. Mm-hmm. So number 20. I'll tell you what I always think of when I hear 20 is Dungeons and Dragons.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. There's number one on my list, 20-side dice.
Yep. Yeah. I've trod on about four of those. They're really painful.
Really yes. Painful. True geeks wear 20-sided dice as a necklace. Always got very excited when I actually managed to roll a 20 on a 20-sided dice because I didn't do it very often.
I mean, I only played Dungeons & Dragons incredibly briefly. It was that one time at band camp. But it was exciting, actually. It was exciting. We know that behind the scenes of games like World of Warcraft, numbers are being rolled.
There are.
The system is rolling numbers. Mm. We only ever see it really when we're going for loot. But all the time, every time you hit something or... You know, all your RNG. There's a virtual 20-sider.
Rolling the die. That's it. And the other big thing that I like about 20 is it's the ASCII code for the space character. How geeky is that?
You mean the actual, like what happens when you press the space bar?
Well,
Mean like a little alien?
all the characters on your keyboard and or everything that you can type. Is assigned a number in hex generally, and hex 20 is the space character, and you'll probably recognize seeing that the most because you'll have seen URLs where it's got spaces or where you would expect to see spaces in names, but in between the words rather than space it'll say percent 20.
Yes.
That's the code for the space character.
Sometimes it comes up as like a little square. Or is that something else?
Oh, I think that's something else. I think that means you're broken, you've got a virus, and you should start again.
Throw that machine out.
Yeah. I had to giggle during the week. Do you read the XKCD comic?
Only when somebody links it.
Ah, well, you would have read this one then. The guy goes, the interview room's in room 8224, and he goes, "Ooh, nice." And I had to crack up because it's like, well, 8224 is like, it's completely meaningless to most people. But there's if you played, I think I mentioned Threes, a nice little game on iOS,
yep.
You got to combine numbers together. Well, 2048 is a variation of that where you're combining twos with fours and eights and 16s, and you try and get the 2048 key tile. and what happens is when you swipe, any two numbers that are the same combine. So if you swipe and there's two twos beside each other, they combine to be four. If there's two fours, they can combine to be eight. So when you've got 8224 like that and you swipe it, the two twos combine to four, the two fours combine to eight, and the two eights then combine to 16. Uh-huh. So 8224. Oh, yeah. excellent.
It's a monster.
It's a monster. But the reason that I recognize it is really sad because I've spent...
Oh, that wasn't sad. What you just said was... Everyone's nodding sad. Along at that one. Yeah, which one is sad now? Come on.
The sad bit is that I've stared at so many hex dumps of code analyzing problems that I know that 8224 decimal is 2020 in hex, 2020 hex. It's a double space character.
Okay.
So
8224 is two spaces.
8224 decimal converts to 2020 in hex. And
okay.
20 is space on hex.
Yeah, actually, that was minimally sad understanding the XKCD comic.
Yeah, it was taking it to the next level. Sorry about that.
Even the people over at the comic are like, geez, come on.
What a dork.
We're trying to stay a little bit relevant.
A little bit. All right, let's stay relevant then. WoW news. There's none. Let's move on. Or is there?
Scarily.
A little bit.
It's been such a... It's so weird how they're doing it. I really am having some faith issues. There's like a sudden rumble. We're going to have dev water coolers. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And then nothing. Now, we want to believe that Blizzard's entire focus is on the World of Warcraft, as it should perhaps be.
Well, it is now.
But it is now. Well, kind of. Although they've got that bloody alpha, technical alpha flying around as well. And Hearthstone seems to be gearing up for some sort of iPad type.
Just the new season, isn't it?
Hopefully they are retaining their focus. But I always thought that they were split into relatively separated teams.
I would think so.
But I don't know, sometimes.
There might be a bit of overlap, but I'm sure that there's a huge dedicated team.
Yeah. And maybe the PR people are joined or something, I don't know. But there's definitely Diablo 3. Poof. Took a bit of the cream this week, didn't it?
It took a bit of the cream. Yeah. And you got to give them props. It was probably the smoothest launch and smoothest, most transparent launch of any game that I've come across.
Well, just followed on the tail of Hearthstone, which was not even a proper launch. It's just like, yeah,
that was just IS Live.
That was so smooth that we didn't even notice it until somebody mentioned it.
Yeah, by the way, it's live.
But for a massive game, a massive expansion, you know, a serious piece of extra kit, I did not see... And there was a heck of a lot of Twitter coverage of D3 going live, which it did do on, I want to say, the day before yesterday.
For you guys. It was only yesterday for us. So Europe got it on the Tuesday, right? But Australia still had to wait until it was midnight in the US.
Oh, what? You always get the short end, don't you, mate? You always get the shitty end of the stick.
Well, you finish, and then I'll get on my high horse and start a bit of a rant.
All right, then. Well... Like I said, on my Twitter feed, there was nothing but praise. No one was being logged out. I believe there may have been a wee bit of maintenance the day after, but very small amount. There was no massive... I'm not sure how Diablo 3 works when you're playing within a relatively instanced scenario, as I guess it is, when even if you're playing with other people, you've got a chunk of the server just to yourselves.
Yeah.
But there was no lag, there was no... real major login issues, as far as I could tell. I mean, I went in a couple of hours after the EU1 had kicked off just to try out the Crusader.
Yep.
No problem at all.
Yeah.
Bang straight in. Everything I'd had there previously was still there, although I had switched to the US quite a bit earlier on in Diablo. Had a one around the Crusader. Got up to level 3, I think, level 4. And... fine, not a problem. And then when the US one kicked off, literally, I think I was in 2 minutes after it kicked off in the US. Same thing, not a problem. Jumped in, got onto a Crusader.
Well, I was actually in the game. So, you know, before midnight... I was actually in the game, and it ticked over, and I went back to the character screen and clicked on Crusader and let me enter a name, start a new Crusader. Yeah, switch back to my level 60 and, off I go. I can pick to play Act 5. It was just there. It was great.
Huge props. I don't know how it works with other games of that type, but that seemed exceptionally smooth. So kudos to Blizzard, definitely, for that.
Well, after the debacle of the original D3 launch in the Era 37.
Oh, yeah. Well, you had some problems actually buying it, though, didn't you, this time around? You were trying to buy the expansion.
Yeah, the store was just wouldn't let me buy it.
Just wouldn't let you in.
It'd get all the way to the end, you know, get all your details, ask you what version you want to buy, get your credit card details or your PayPal details, get all the way to the end and go, okay, pay now. And it goes, correct errors listed below. And there are no errors listed below.
error, you know what I was going to tweet you back? I was going to say, well, because you're no lull two cloaks, and they're probably saying, no, we can't have him playing Diablo. Yeah. He's about the only one that's still playing WoW.
Yeah. We need you to be three cloaks. That's what it was.
Three cloaks, yeah.
Well, I wasn't going to... Once the game like that has come out, I couldn't possibly go raiding in WoW without my treasure goblin. So I had to buy D3.
That's true.
Whether I was going to play or not. Treasure goblin. Had to have my treasure
Thousands
goblin.
Thousands of them everywhere.
Watch them disappear through the portal just as they've got about three health left and bugger off with all my loot.
Yeah. Those things are just stress inducing. There's no reason for them other than that. They're just to give people ulcers because a few appeared while I was running and I was like, just leave it.
Chase me over here as I run towards all these elite mobs.
I feel a wee bit ashamed, although it wasn't my doing, but I had a little run around on the US Crusader. And then a Larcher and a Zixxer and Flitmax, sort of groups from the old days of WoW, said, oh, come on, you know, come to us. You know, we'll transport over to us, join this group. And next thing I know, they're running Act 5. And I'm just sucking in XP like nobody's business.
Yeah.
And by the end of a relatively short period of time, I think about 3 hours, no, that must be less than that, I'd got to level 18. And I was still stood in the grey crap they give you at the beginning. But I was also an absolute mob magnet.
But now it's absolutely impossible for you to go and actually kill anything by yourself.
I can't do it, no. Although I suppose I can go back to where I was. Which I will do because I want to see the story because I actually haven't ever seen the whole story of the other acts. So I still want to go and do that.
Mm.
Although, of course, I'm going to be massively OP.
Yeah, I didn't want to group up with anybody in Act 5 because invariably when I group up with somebody, you know, they're rushing through stuff. They won't, you know, stop to look at the, you know, read the text. You know, they're escaping through everything. Mm-hmm. You know, no, I just want to take it slow and experience it.
Yeah. I understand the end of Act 5 is interesting, although I have yet to see actual spoilers.
Mm-hmm. No. Was leading up to it a couple of days, or last weekend, with that 100% XP bonus last weekend. Good as timed it as any to get in. And I jumped in there with Molly. Ralph said, oh, you want me to come and do a bit of power leveling with you? I've never been power leveled before. I had no idea. We were both level 34, I think. He said, yeah, come along. Change your game to as hard as you can make it. So I went and cranked it up to master mode. Wouldn't let me go torment mode. Set it to master mode. Ralph comes in. We go, okay, off we go. We're still in Act 1 somewhere, I think. Waltzed off, and before you know it, a few hours had gone by. We ding level 60.
That's cool.
It's like
it's good though, because it means you can jump straight into the new content.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, had a bunch of I think we've got three legendaries doing that as well. Yeah. So I jumped straight into playing hard mode in the new act, and I think even hard mode, I'm pretty much just tanking, spanking the bosses. You know, I'm not having to do too much
because
strategy.
Of the gear you've got now.
Yeah, probably because of the gear that I got being power leveled. So I might put it up to expert for a while until it gets really hard again and then put it back to hard. But I'm loving it. Yeah, it's pretty good. Tried the Crusader. It's very paladin-y, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, it's paladin on acid.
Yeah.
I'd love that character in WoW, to be honest.
Yeah.
I like the armor. The armor's fantastic. I'd like the designs of some of those things to make them way through to the other franchises. Because the armor, as I said, relatively early on, I was getting some seriously good looking armor.
Yeah, a lot of great art in it.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know how easy that is to do, because I guess they have a very limited number of characters they have to fit that armor to.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, but still,
mm.
It's gorgeous stuff.
Yeah. So, my whinge.
Come on then. We'll take the good and now the bad.
Yeah, all right, that was all good. I feel bad complaining about it, but...
Not going to stop you though, is it?
It doesn't add up. So there's a big hoo-ha about Australia and New Zealand getting local Diablo 3 servers.
Yay, local Diablo 3
servers. Well, I mean, why Diablo 3?
Yay.
WoW players have been asking for local servers for years, and they've refused to even commit to it or comment on it or anything. And you'd think in an MMO where it is multiplayer and there is PvP and where latency does make a difference, that would be more important to have local servers for Australians.
Mm.
Compared to Diablo, which, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I know it's not, but I'm going to say single player game.
Oof. That's a little bit controversial, but yeah, okay. No, I guess compared to if you weren't compared
to love WoW, to look. I'd love to look at the figures. I reckon that 90% of game time is solo.
Yeah, certainly very high. I don't know what the number would be, but certainly very high.
Very high. So all I can come up with. If it was, I work in the computer technology application space, right? So I've been around the traps, and the only reason that we would put servers at a remote location like that is because the application is crap, and it can't deal with latency, it can't deal with the slow response time, it can't deal with the traffic. It can't deal with the way the programmers have written the interfaces requesting too much data back and forth. And so, I mean, I'm sure, I would hope not all that is true, but I just feel very jaded that, they're the sorts of reasons that we've ended up with local D3 servers.
And so when you select it, you still select Americas, though, don't you?
Yeah, it still says we're playing Americas. It's supposedly all completely transparent.
Okay. So it sees where you are, then it decides where to sort of stick your piece of code.
But, of course, then when you do go multiplayer, if I'm playing with Molly, and she joins my game, now she's got shit latency because she's running on my server. So, it feels odd. And, I mean, to be perfectly honest, I mean, I'm over it in terms of WoW. I mean, if they went, okay, here's these WoW servers, they're in Australia, we're going to release them tomorrow, I probably wouldn't play on them, right? I mean, I'm entrenched in Earthen Ring and Airy Peak.
Yeah, that's right. I'm not because you're actually based on, not on the Australian, supposedly the Oceanic realms.
Yeah, Oceanic realms, Oceanic servers are in the US. Yes, a bit bitter. It's touched a nerve.
Then again, if the reverse of what you said is that the code is so good for WoW, they decided not to bother with localized servers.
Well, there you go. That's.
I mean, think how bad I feel when if I play on the EU. I mean, forget about America, which I will obviously is my own fault. But if I play on the EU, I've got to play in France.
Oh.
Those servers are in Paris, mate.
Yeah, but the latency between the UK and Paris is like 20 milliseconds. As opposed to the latency between Melbourne, Australia and East Coast, USA is like 250 milliseconds.
I bet it's a lot better in Sydney.
Yeah, Sydney's like 10 milliseconds.
Is that where all the Australians live? I don't know.
Yeah. So no, it seems odd, but I'll move on. I'll get over it.
Yeah, you can't lose what you haven't had.
That's it.
But then again, I was saying this to Alexander, who occasionally wants to go back to the EU WoW servers for some unknown reason. And I've built in the lag into my playstyle. Mm-hmm. I know that what the lag is going to be, roughly. I mean, I can tell when it's extra laggy.
Yeah.
But it's laggy all the time. I just don't realize that. And so when I'm playing the EU servers, I'm constantly undercompensating or overcompensating, however it goes, and not doing things as they should be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you mean. So, but anywho.
Yeah, you know, you take the bitter with the sweet, don't you, mate?
You do.
Just think about the fantastic lag-free servers you're going to get playing solo Diablo.
Yeah. So happy about that. So happy.
So happy.
Yeah. And there was some news this week with the 6.0.
Yeah, interesting news. And seemingly the kind of news that they sort of think to themselves, oh, Jesus, people are getting really annoyed. Maybe we should give them something to think about.
Thinking about mythic raiding.
Yep, 20-man mythic raiding. In a new raid, a show? No? Yes, maybe?
Doubt it. Not on 6.0.
No.
Not a chance, Sunshine.
Siege of Orgrimmar.
Yeah. Because that's what everybody's going to want after 9 months of running Siege of Orgrimmar is, let's run some more.
Piss off 5 of your mates and run it again.
That's it. See ya, fellas.
I was like, do you think that is mainly the reason? The reason is just to people to bed down their 20 man in anticipation of new content coming?
Well, there's that. And there's they want to roll out the 6.0 code, and the 6.0 code structures raids like that.
Yeah.
So, in effect, all they're doing is they're saying, well, we'll still let you do heroic raiding, but only 20 of you can play, and we've renamed it. It's now all mythic. That's it, really, isn't it? I don't think there's any.
Does that bode for the fact that the 6.0 patch will be around for some time prior to the launch of the actual expansion?
Oh, that's a good point. I mean, the success of that, or you know, how much we'd tolerate that, is really going to depend a lot on what the pre-launch event is. If it's anything like the Scourge event, then I'd be more than happy for it to run for a couple of months or more.
Yeah. And how long do you think they would need to be able to... I mean, it's kind of... It's not betaing, because there's going to be a beta on for Mythic stuff, I'm sure, but...
Yeah.
How long do you think they'd want to give it so that raid teams are happy with it in the real world?
I don't think that's going to be... I think that's a gimme. They're just saying, yeah, you can do it, but I don't think they're wanting to run it long enough to prove or disprove anything. It'll just be, here it is.
Yeah.
You know, wrap your head around it. You might have 2 weeks, 2 months. Who knows? I don't think that's a deciding factor at all.
Mm. Mm. Interesting announcement, though. It just seems to come out of nowhere. Boom.
Yeah.
Which, and I guess, actually, it's kind of a weird one, because it's the sort of thing that you would have said, well, of course they're going to have to do that. Because they're actually getting rid of the 25.
Well, but typically they don't change the old raids. The old raids are still how they were. I guess the 10 and... I'm trying to remember what happened when they went from 40 to 25. Because you still couldn't do a 40. So, yeah, so I guess, you know, they have to do the change. I don't know what that means for earlier content. They're not going to have a mythic version of any other raids earlier than that, surely.
No. And these are the only raids that are going to be not available cross-server.
That's mythic. Right.
Yeah. Such an interesting thing as well. That's such a... On the one hand, you give credence to a guild with your non-cross-realm mythics.
Yeah.
And then you kind of take it away for everything else. The guild is not a necessity. In fact, I've heard some complaints on the various forums about people saying, well, people are already leaving. I can't fill a guild raid team anymore on the smaller guilds. Jeez. Because they've cross-servered.
You can't please anybody, can you? So people are begging to be able to play with their friends on other realms. And now they're complaining that they can't keep a guild together because of cross-realm stuff. They can't win, poor bastards. Yeah,
no, they can't win. No. But then it throws into question what the guild is for. Because when you look at your guild, when you look at AIE, it's actually, in essence, a series of elf raiding groups, isn't it?
No, it's a huge single social entity.
It is to a degree, but you're... No, I agree. Obviously, you know better than I do, because you're like the boss of AIE. But
the raid teams, I mean, some
raid teams themselves are part of the social fabric of those guilds, aren't they?
Yeah, but they're not specific to a specific co-guild. Like the flex team that I'm in, we're not all in the same co-guild. We're spread across different guilds.
So you couldn't do Mythic?
No.
With that, okay.
I can't see that being a huge issue for me, mate, to be honest.
No, but there must be other people that are using the power of AIE and the mixture of co-guilds to form a large raiding team.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can. Of course you can all get into the same co-guild and get, you know, guild achievements for those raids.
I saw a tweet from you as well that showed the number of people who were applying to AIE this last few weeks.
We are getting slammed. That was just one day.
Boosted 90s, boosted, do you think?
Well, a combination. Boosted 90s and people coming back with a pre-order availability.
Yeah. So, interesting, though. It does belie the whole potential of a lull. Although, do you think those people that, say you've boosted your 90, you've come back, I suppose, depending upon where you left off, you still have all the content that we've seen for the last however many months.
That's it.
To go through.
Yeah, you boost a 90 and go back to Jade Forest and do all the quests.
Yeah. Actually, because this is something we were talking about the other week, wasn't it? That saying that, well, for us, I keep saying for us as if I'm standing in Siege of Orgrimmar going, well, what am I going to do now? But for the majority of players who've been here for the entire length of time of this particular expansion, it's all, it's kind of getting old for some people. But you come back, then I guess... December, or say September, worst case, or best case, and December, worst case, doesn't seem that far, that bad. Yeah. You've got so much to do.
Yeah, you've got plenty to do.
Yeah.
And I think people are, they're boosting a 90, and I think people that are got a bit of extra cash are probably leveling some toons up to 60 and going to do a purchase to boost some more.
Yeah. Actually, that was other news that we kind of, it's kind of news. The trouble is sometimes... The news comes via the tweet of an individual.
Mm.
And you kind of think, well, is that news? Or is the guy just gone off off-piste?
Yeah, I remembered a bit. Go on, you do yours and then I'll do mine. I remembered one.
Well, somebody asked, and I think the guy they asked has something to do with the development of professions. And the question was basically, any plan for profession catch-up in Warlords of Draenor? So... The type of thing he's talking about is the type of thing that you can currently do with, say, mining. Instead of having to go back through the old world and mine, you can go and mine in Pandaria and by various mechanics level your mining there instead of going anywhere else. And the guy said, of the various catch-up systems we experimented with in Mists, we liked herbalism mining the best. Plan is for more like that. So the follow-up question was, well, how does that affect non-gathering professions?
Exactly.
Like engineering. Or do we go and craft 600 fireworks of doom? and then he gets a little bit cagey. He says, not sure how much I'm allowed to share yet. His boss is looking over his shoulder. Since design is always in flux, but plans is to tie in with gated material generation.
Gotta love those gated professions.
Material generation. Now...
But they generally gate you once you're maxed. They don't gate you leveling it.
Well, let's chuck a little theory on the table. Let's chuck a theory on the table that the only way you're able to advance your professions beyond a certain limit is through materials you draw from your garrison.
Forcing you to do the garrison stuff. It's a sneaky bastard.
Let's just chuck that on there as a potential. But now we've had gated stuff before, but with several of the particular professions you were kind of able to get around it. There were a few that you weren't able to do and you went ahead and you you collected your various bits and pieces of extra material. But if there's a whole stage of gated material generation, because we already know they're not going to let us have realm first professions. And the reason for that they gave was, well, it's different, it's going to be different, and so it doesn't fit in with the plans that we have for professions. Yeah.
Leveling your garrisons, they've said, isn't going to be a gold sink. There's going to be some other resource. So
another resource.
So leveling your garrisons is gated as well. So I can't. It's kind of like what they did in Mists, where you couldn't buy gear until you had rep with people, and you couldn't buy the gear until you had the valor. You got to have to grind valor and grind rep. So this is like double whammy. Mm. I hope they learnt from the backlash from that, and they're not going to do a double whammy of you got to grind to level your garrison so that you can grind to get mats to level your professions.
Oh, you hope?
I hope. I hope. This is me crossing my fingers.
When they say things like, "Don't worry, there won't be any of this awful rep grind. There's going to be profession grind, garrison grind." We've replaced rep grind with six different grinds that you're going to have to do. But I could see that. I mean, if you want to keep your subs coming in and the longevity of a game, you want time-based elements. Mm-hmm. Hopefully time-based elements that don't make you want to claw your eyes out with a hammer.
Before you get to the point of wanting to claw your eyes out.
But you can certainly see that there's a potential where until you get, and as you quite rightly said, gated tends to be at max level, where you get to 100 and then you can really start to get on with your professions. Not going to please a lot of people.
This is true. This is really true. So the other tweet that I saw was somebody asked about the changes to enchanting slots. And there was an initial erroneous response, and then a follow-up response of, oh, no, that's right. Yeah, no, we're definitely reducing the number of slots that need enchanting, but we haven't decided what yet.
That was definitely, wasn't it?
What? You haven't decided that yet? How far away is this thing?
I know. There's loads of those things where I'm like on the, they're talking about showing us some Draenei models next week. And we were supposing that all those models are kind of done and they're just slowly drip feeding us them. But I think some dude just said, yeah, okay, I'm happy with that one. Moving on to the next one. And so much talk has been about why. Is it a sudden delay? Or is it they'd always had in mind the last quarter of the year and they perhaps raised expectations over and above what they should have done? That perhaps the pace of change that seemed to be happening when we saw BlizzCon and the relatively polished look of some of the areas they did, but of course that's just a very small slice of the whole expansion. Yep. Were our expectations raised too high, or has something happened? And the conspiracy theorists are out and about, you know, with their pitchforks and burning gnomes, and they're saying something's happened. Something just didn't play out right, or you know, that there's something's been thrown in the mix that they perhaps didn't think about.
Could be. Maybe they assigned half the team to the dance studio and then aborted it again.
Oh, God. If anything, if dance studio is delaying anything, I want those people rounded up and shot. Because everybody wants it because they didn't get it.
That's it.
As opposed to that they want it because they want it. It's one of those things. We want it. Why? I've got no idea why we want it.
What is it? I don't know, but I want it.
You promised it. It was on the box. It's crazy. But I hope it. The kind of upsetting thing is we may never know.
Yeah.
And you kind of, it's, you know, as open as Blizzard can be in certain aspects, there is this awful black box in the middle, which we just don't know. And when they when they sort of gussy it up by saying, obviously, we want to do the best expansion ever, and we want, you know, it'll be ready when it's ready, and we don't want to put out a product which is half-assed. Great, that's fantastic. Mm. But you led us to believe it would be out sooner rather than later, and it's not going to be. So perhaps we need to have a bit more transparency over in that particular black box. But I don't know. I don't know. Lots of people saying, oh, Hearthstone, Diablo 3, the Alpha 4, Heroes of the Storm, distraction. Distraction, mate, that is. No, well, it's not distraction, because I don't think anybody thought of themselves, let's do a Diablo expansion just in case Warlords was delayed. I think they've been working on that anyway. And as for Hearthstone and Heroes of the Storm, they all have their own calendar to work to. Nobody's saying to them, we're going to have to shove this out. Because those walk-off people get a bit antsy.
They are, because Warlords.
Yeah, but I don't know. Again, like I said, I don't think we'll ever really know.
Doesn't matter.
And I hope
we'll get here when it gets here.
I just hope that design decisions that are looking to be for the good of the game are not for the good of a rapid expansion. That's kind of what I hope. They're not cutting things because, I mean, God forbid I use the word flying, but those things aren't getting thrown by the wayside and then shown to be for the good of the game. We think you deserve to be on the ground.
Yeah.
As opposed to that being a technical issue.
We don't have the resource to get this finished and polished.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. But I think generally, I know you're happy to wait. Because you love this time of the game. I'm just worried we're going to start seeing people peter away. And the reason I say that is because this weekend, I mean, I am a bit of a slut when it comes to MMOs. And something new and shiny comes along, I'm like, ooh, hello. Hello. And my wow wife is sat at home wondering where I am.
Yeah, but you'll be back.
But I'll be back, yeah. I'll be back. He'll be back when he's hungry. But I had a little play around with that Wildstar this weekend. They had a bit of a beta weekend. Right. It's supposedly the pre-order. People are able to pre-order the game. And with that pre-order, you get beta access for a few weekends coming up before it releases at the beginning of June. June the 3rd, I think. It's an interesting game. I enjoyed myself.
Ooh, well, that's always a good sign.
It is a good sign. But saying this is not, you know, I'm, like I said, slut-wise, I'm not great because I've been all over the place. I've had a bit of Star Wars, I've had a bit of Rift, Aeon, Conan. I've been slapping it about all over the place. So
all the ones that are now free to play.
It's not unusual. Yeah, actually, I made them free to play. Star Trek, Champions.
Lifetime subscription.
Yeah, anybody wants a game to go free to play, send me the money for a lifetime, almost guaranteed. Yep. 6 months down the line, done. This one is not going to be free to play initially. It's going to be a $15 subscription, although it has an interesting model, which is kind of Eve-like, in as much as you can make currency in the game and buy game time from other players.
Oh.
And Eve does this. Eve has a thing called Plex, a pilot license expansion, where people can buy these plexes and sell them in the game, making game currency. And so if you're, again, it's the time versus money type of thing. If you've got lots of time, you can make your gold and buy your time. And if you've got not much time, you can buy your, well, the other way around. Yeah. So it's quite an interesting model that, but anyway, the game itself, yeah, it was pretty interesting. For sci-fi, it's a sci-fi Western, which is interesting, kind of the Firefly type model.
Oh, okay. I saw a few comments along the lines of, I wanted to really like it, but it was meh.
Yeah, it certainly didn't grab everybody.
No.
And I had some technical issues with it because the beta, although there will be European servers, the beta was pushing everybody towards the American servers. So everybody was going onto the North American servers and getting some various amounts of lag.
Yeah.
And obviously in the very initial few hours, everybody was logging in. So it was that. But actually in the last few hours, I actually played, because it finished at Pacific time, sort of midnight, so that gave me 7 o'clock in the morning my time. I played for a few hours early in the morning. Smooth as ice, it was great.
Excellent.
Yeah. I don't know, though.
What character did you play?
It was like it reminded me of the Star Wars Smuggler.
Okay.
And it was like a two-handed gun-toting. The Geshul class was like a robot-y type guy. Which is quite cool. But it's a funny thing because actually it's very cartoony. It looks very cartoony. My son said it looks like Ratchet and Clank, which it kind of does do. But supposedly, Endgame is for those 1% hardcore players that really love to have a challenge. And that actually PvP itself as well is supposed to be incredibly hardcore. Because it has a whole different targeting system. There's no auto-targeting. A lot of it is AoE type targeting. So you have an area of effect kind of thing, even for your guns.
Interesting.
But they belies that. Because you look at that cartoony stuff and you go, this is going to be one of those games where, you know, it's a fun game. It, for want of a better word, it's a kid's game. But supposedly not, no. Supposedly the ethos behind it is hardcore. So I wonder for people, and for me that sends a shudder.
Yeah, that doesn't make me want to run out.
Because that's not my type of game at all. But I wonder if many people will look at it and go, oh, it's a relaxing game that I can play at weekends. Maybe I'll carry on playing well alongside it and then be completely boom. Because I watched a few people doing it on a stream and they were getting smashed by a boss. Absolutely smashed. The guy was wiped. He must have wiped 12 times while I watched this guy stream over about an hour.
Doesn't sound fun.
Doesn't sound fun, no. Well, he seemed to be having fun, I don't know. But yeah, that was interesting. And I also this coming weekend, on Sunday, Elder Scrolls Online releases. And that is very much a game that has a lot of power behind it.
Yeah, I think
for anybody who played Skyrim.
Well, yeah, I think a large number of people will go and play that for a while. Be interesting to see how long it holds them.
Yeah, they've got a bit of an interesting problem because they're trying to please the Skyrim crowd and they're trying to do an MMO. And to be honest, the two of them don't necessarily mesh as well as you would imagine.
Really? I thought it would mesh pretty well.
Well, the world itself and, you know, the RPG part of the RPG meshes very well. But what they've done is they've, for instance, stuck to the controls that you'd have to use in Skyrim, which is your WASD and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And also the having spells on the left and the right mouse, that, you know, the sort of things that you were happy to do in a single-player game, but not necessarily in an MMO.
Right.
And also they've locked it down to the point where not only is that the system, but that's the system you're going to have. You can't change it, which is...
People won't like that. People like risking changing the UI.
Well, the other day literally it's launching on pre-order 4-day head start is on Sunday. And just a week ago they changed the API to completely balk many mods.
Wasn't so very nice.
You know, no, but they've also got console versions of it coming out in a few months time on the PS4.
So they want it to work across the board.
Yeah. So it's you can definitely feel it as a bit of a console-y type game. Interesting though, but this is what I'm worried about. This is, you know, it's okay having a lull in the World of Warcraft if there's not a heck of a lot of choice out there for you to jump to. But there seems to be, that's two big games that are launching in this lull period. And I keep using the word lull period because I think generally for a lot of people it is a lull period. And that's what worries me, because it's all well and good. And you kind of think that people who are WoW aficionados will go and play these games, and then when Warlords comes out, they'll come back.
Yeah, well, that's what I reckon will happen. I mean, that's what happens all the time. People go off and play
other games. But how many stick? But it's not so much that. It's that I think you're quite right. I think a good deal, especially the sort of groups that we hang around with, a good deal of people, if they do disappear and they're going to have to take a break, will come back because they're very much invested in the game. But there's always a certain number of that churn that just doesn't come back. And so instead of 7.7 million, you're looking at 6 million. And that's a chunk. That's a serious chunk. And even with the increase in playership that comes from having a new expansion, it may not be able to top it back up again.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying that's just a natural concern that I have.
I think it is. I think it will happen because there's an ever-growing competitive market. There's always new games coming out that are going to lure people away to play something new. So, I can't see the WoW numbers staying as they are or growing. I can only see them going down over time. You know, they'll jump back up when an expansion comes out. But overall, those 10 million plus numbers of WoW are gone forever.
It does, I guess to a certain extent, a lot of people, sometimes I listen to people talking on other podcasts or reading other blogs and stuff, and I don't necessarily I don't relate to them. I mean, for instance, people were looking at Myst and saying that it's not been a great expansion. I think it's been an absolutely fantastic expansion.
Nutters.
I know, I don't get that. And actually, I wasn't super, super excited for Cataclysm as I was for Myst, but I didn't think it was a bad expansion. There was so much to do. There was lots of stuff to do back in the old world and stuff. It wasn't... But people are saying that is what happened. That's what caused a decline. That those expansions were not... That having followed on from the Wrath expansion, which I think people will say was definitely the high point, that's your 12 millions.
Yeah. No, that was a good expansion.
Now, if Warlords is able to be an expansion of that class, you would hope that whatever brought people into Wrath will bring them back more so into Warlords. But like I said, I read blogs and I listen to podcasts and I don't, maybe I'm not the right person because the things I like to do in the game have always been catered for in all the expansions. So, I don't know. It's interesting times.
Yes, interesting times indeed. And speaking of the Northrend expansion, I've got a new little game to play this week. And I've ripped it. I've stolen it directly from the Skeptic's Guide to the Universe podcast. They do a segment called Science or Fiction, and this is called WoW Fact or Fiction. So each week I'm going to bring you three factoids about WoW. Two of which are real, one is fake, and our panel of experts, i.e. you, have to tell me which one's the fake.
Oh, cool. Right. That sounds good.
So this week's theme is places in Northrend. Okay, here we go. Three items. Number one, Winterfin Retreat in the Borean Tundra is inhabited by friendly Murlocs. Number two, Beryl Point in the Howling Fjord is inhabited by a combination of humans and dragonkin. And number three, Icemist Village in Dragonblight is inhabited by a combination of humans and spider-like creatures. What do you remember of the places in Northrend, mate?
Well, Winterfin certainly has lots of Murlocs there, and there's like a tribe of friendly Murlocs, because at one stage you go and rescue their babies and you also get to wear a costume.
That's right.
And I remember being ganked there in that costume, which is a little bit embarrassing.
Cosplay.
I was on a Alliance character and some troll, while I was multi-boxing two of those people dressed in the costume, decided to gank me. I don't think he realised that there was two of us because I killed him, but still. So I think that one's true. Beryl Point is where all the old Wilfred Brimleys are.
Wilfred Brimleys?
Kallawak. Is it Kallawak?
No.
Isn't Beryl Point that where those platforms you have to blow up and there's the dogs and demon hounds and all that? Isn't that Beryl Point?
I don't think so. I think you're thinking of something else. Demons and dogs.
Well, down the road from there is there's the one, isn't that the quest where you rescue somebody from a prison? And there are indeed Dragon King down there.
This is true. Yeah.
And what was the last one?
Ice Mist Village was... in Dragonblight.
Ice Mist Village.
Inhabited by humans and spider-like creatures. I've put it in the show notes now so you can see them. The audience
think
is shouting.
That is the wrong one.
Shouting.
I think that's the fake one. Three.
Which one?
Because
Ice Mist Village.
I don't think spiders like cold. Actually, at the other end of Dragonblight, there certainly are lots of spiders.
Is it there's the whole spider-like creatures? I don't know. They're actually classified as spiders. They're the like the ones that are down in As John the Rub.
Okay, well, I'm definitely going two's definitely true.
Okay, yep.
Friendly Murlocs, right. Definitely two, true. Bell Point in Howling Fjord. The only thing I think about Bell Point in Howling Fjord is I thought Bell Point was at the other end of the map. I'm going to go that three is false.
Is that your final answer? Yeah. Everybody's shouting at you. He tricked you. Beryl Point is indeed in Borean Tundra, not in the Howling Fjord.
Son of a... I should know that as well because... I should know that because I've been there so many times. And the Kalawak are there. That's why it's in Borean Tundra. Because Howling Fjord's full of all those vikings.
Beryl Point is inhabited by the mages and those boxes on Tron-like platforms.
Yeah. And that's where... So actually, you're right. So you did trick me because it's the Combination of Humans and Jenkins right, but the Howling Fjord's wrong. Son of a... Didn't I just say minutes ago I thought it was at the other end of the map?
And then you still went to Ice Village.
Douche. So what are these spider-like things?
Like the creatures that are outside the... As John the Rub, that give you the quests. They're like kind of like a human spider combination.
Yeah, they're more like ants almost, aren't they? Ants and spiders mixed together kind of thing.
Big spider body, but
I'm ashamed of myself now.
Oh yeah, I think you did pretty well actually. I mean, you know, first week didn't expect to be tricked into the wrong zone. You were looking at the inhabitants.
I wasn't even thinking of the zone. I was thinking of the combination of people
of
that live
there. That's how I worded it. I'm like a sneaky bastard.
That was good. I like that. I like that.
I'll come up with some more.
I like reliving old quests as well. I like thinking about how old quests are. That's cool.
Very good. So what about your week in the game, mate? Done anything?
No. As a mixture of, a mixture of slutting it about on other MMOs.
Yeah.
I played a thing called EverQuest Landmark. Or EverQuest Next Landmark. No. Have you heard of that? It's weird. EverQuest, obviously a very old in the tooth. Well, not old in the tooth, but EverQuest, an MMO. Are moving towards a whole new version of EverQuest. They've already got EverQuest and EverQuest 2, and now they're looking at a thing called EverQuest Next. And it's going to be voxels. And if you haven't heard of voxels, I'm sure you have, but if you haven't heard of voxels, they're the sort of thing that power Minecraft.
Interesting.
But they're going down a slightly smoother route. They're not going 8-bit, for instance, but they are using the same technology as voxels used. And they've got a alpha that's just about to turn into a beta for this landmark part of it. And it's like a building game. In as much as you can go and you create a character, you can claim a land, a settlement, and you can build on there. And they give you lots of tools, and there's lots of resources to collect. What they're aiming toward is that players will build the landscapes for the MMO.
That'd be wicked.
And also that this particular product, the Landmark Next, or the Next Landmark, will also be a game in and of itself, in as much as it will be a building game with combat and all sorts of other things as well. They've got an interesting way of financing it, and what they do is they don't make you do it, but they offer you the ability to buy a founders pack, and their top range founders pack is $100. But that gives you, well, it would have given you, because it's now finished, it gives you access to the alpha and also access to the betas that are coming up. And also for beta invites, that type of thing. So there's all sorts of things. But I had a little, for some unknown reason, ponied up the $100. And because I wanted to have a quick check about it, because the only reason, I'm sure they're not listening, but the only reason I knew that is because I knew that the guy, John Smedley, who runs Sony Online, who are behind all of these games, had made it quite clear that if you didn't enjoy the alpha or you had some problems with it technically, you get a full refund. So I jumped in, played for a few days, and then got my refund. Maybe not what they expect you to do. I said, that money will just be missing from the shopping budget just for a couple of days. But, yeah, it was interesting. It was, I don't know, it's incredibly early days, as an alpha should be. And the closed beta probably will be running for several months, so I don't know. But that was quite interesting. Like I said, I did a bit of Wildstar, did a bit of Diablo.
We're all over the place, mate.
Did a bit of, what else? I don't know. A little bit of Skyrim, just in anticipation of perhaps having a go
Elder Scrolls familiarization. Fair enough.
Yeah, so not a chunk of WoW, no.
That's all right. I made up for it, man.
Yay. I know you always will do, so I never feel that guilty about not doing stuff.
So I've I leveled my rogue from 70 to 80. Bam. Done. Mm. And
see, easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
It just gets more and more fun. So you know, I was doing the old plummeting out of the sky and stealth and do an ambush and appear behind them and whack, 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 and they're dead. So now I've taken it a step further. So now I ambush behind them, which sticks up a combo point on them, and do a kidney shot, which stuns them. So they just stand there for a couple of seconds while I finish them off. If they're still alive, that is. If I didn't one-shot them by ambushing them. It's a lot of fun, mate. Very roguish. I was up by K3 in Storm Peaks doing some farming and some questing. And Wingy was actually up there helping Lita. Level her turn for Herald of the Titans, and I didn't even see him. He just said, "Ah, there's you," and then the next thing he knows, I disappeared off his screen, and then a mob down on the ground had that sacked thing over his head, and then he was dead. And he broke up laughing. He said, "That's hilarious." So I'm loving that. It's a ton of fun doing that. So I'm hoping that Cataclysm content will be just as much fun. I'm expecting it will be. But it's pretty fast
level. It's funny. You said last week how you got over that hump. And now it's a character you love, as opposed to a lot of people that would have given up long before then.
Very persistent. Fully intend to get to 90 on this dude. I'm actually quite surprised at how much I'm enjoying him.
So, do you grab any professions?
Yes, I'm herbing and currently picking the cataclysm herbs and basically get them to the point where they're grey before I move on.
Do you stealth and sneak up on the herb and try and get behind it?
I just drop out of the sky and plummet on it. It's great because like normally there'll be like one mob standing somewhere near the herb. And so I just plummet out of the sky and sap them while I'm falling towards them, and then go and pick the herb and then mount up and fly off again. They're like,
what the hell was that?
Where'd that herb go?
Where's my herb? I've got one job to protect that herb.
It's very good. Once you hit level 80, you can actually learn your professions up to 600. I don't forget what the name of it is. So basically at level 80, I could level alchemy to 600.
Okay.
I haven't, but I mean, I could. So I was...
By auction housing?
Yeah. Obviously, or sending some other toon out to do that. But I have to confess, I did want to actually level it just by farming and collecting herbs, but I decided that I wanted to use this tune to make the flasks that we need for Herald of the Titans, because you can actually use the Cataclysm flasks for Herald of the Titans. So I had to get up to 500 to make those flasks and buy the cauldron. I don't know if you remember raiding back in Cataclysm, but you could actually make a cauldron that you could stick down for your entire raid, and everybody dip in and pull out a flask equivalent for them. So,
I certainly had heard of it.
So it's been working well. Luckily, the cauldrons aren't bind on pickup, and they don't have, you don't have to be a high level alchemist to use them. So I can make them and send them to my warrior that's going to be doing Herald of the Titans. So that's working out nicely. I've got my alchemy up to over 525 by making those flasks.
That's good.
And as opposed to the making the seafood magnifique, unfortunately they're buying on pickup. So we're all chipping in and doing a bit of farming and fishing to get all the mats for those to make the seafood magnifique. We did another Alderwire gearing run this weekend, and a bunch of us got a whole bunch more gear. I'm a lot closer now to having a sufficient tanking set to run Herald of the Titans. So we've still got some people leveling up that want to do it with us. Clocky started a new rogue. I think he went from like level 1 to like level 50 in a couple of days. So I think it's going to take people very long to get up to level 80. And the gearing runs through. If you run the three ICC five-mans and an older wire run, you're pretty good chance to get a fair amount of gear out of those runs. So, looking forward to that.
And how's the team?
We've actually got a full 10 now. Don't have any fill-ins in case people are away. So if people are still interested, then let us know. Because, some people might not be able to make whatever time we pick to do it. And B, I'm sure we'll want to do it multiple times and try and get it for as many people that want it. So that's been consuming a fair amount of time.
Because they're bitter and salty.
They've done it. Done and dusted. Yeah, done and dusted, mate. Oh,
okay.
We're following in their footsteps. Yeah. Mm.
They're dust. And they're bitter and salty dust.
Exactly. And a bit of Warlock action again this week. And if you listen to Control Alt WoW this week, you would have heard Lita talk about our epic Dire Maul run. It was a run of epicness. We were extremely proud to be able to do that. Matter abandoned us and had to go to work. So there's the three of us.
What?
Wingy Leader and I at level 43 in Dire Maul up against level 47 bosses. Yeah.
Okay. How'd that go?
Mate, we're getting to be an awesome set of warlocks and got everything out in our bars. We're fearing stuff. We're seducing stuff. We're raining fire down the non-elites. We're doing Shadow Fury and stunning stuff. Using our soul stones and popping back to life. And it's a thing of beauty, mate. It's a real challenge, but it's so rewarding to be able to get through that stuff. You come up against that last boss in the what used to be the King of Dire Maul run. You get that last boss and his offsider, and like the boss is a 47 elite and his offsider is 46, I think. They can't be, neither of them could be feared. So, there's a lot of, and they hit pretty hard on the old blueberries. So it was definitely a challenge, but we got there. We managed to complete it.
Stop hitting my blueberries.
So we thought that was hard enough. And then a couple of days ago, the next dungeon on our list that pops up in the dungeon finder that we can't use is the Stratholme main entrance. Yeah. Stratholme, full of undead. Undead,
yeah.
Immune to fear. Yeah, we're pretty good against humans and beasts and stuff that we can fear, against elementals that we can banish, and against demons that we can enslave. Undead, yeah. Not so many great tools against them, mate. So to say it was a challenge would understate it. But we persisted. Funniest thing, the hardest boss in there, the rat boss. You know the rat boss?
Well, through the
gates.
Oh, God, I hated that so much. So much.
So
killed so many of my multi-box teams.
So we were prepared for it the first time, and we AoE'd them all down. It stunned them, AoE'd them, got them all down. Unfortunately, Wingy was a bit ambitious in his tab targeting and managed to tab to an elite that was on the other side of the gate and pulled a pack of mobs, which didn't end well. So that was our first wipe to the rat boss. And then we slowly made our way inside, and we had a few more deaths because we couldn't fear, and it was, stuff would pull more mobs. But we got there. We eventually made our way through. We're getting towards the last boss, and it was like one of the packs right towards the end, and a patrol came through and completely messed us up, and Lita and Matter died. Wingy and I had a soul stone, so we pop back up. We're inside, they're outside. They run in, run through the gates.
No,
rat boss. So they both died to the rat boss. I thought, okay, well, I thought those things, once you killed them, that was it, right? So they run back in and they ran through it. Rat boss! Killed again. And we pissed ourselves laughing. And I said to them, you want us to come out and help you with a rat boss? You have a bit of trouble with those non-elite rats that are coming out. We'll come and help you.
Too many of them.
No, you just Shadow Fury and stun them and then Rain of Fire, mate. Not a problem.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. AoE people, fantastic. And I had no problem with hunters multi-shotting and pets killing them off.
So Wingy and I make our way back out there. They're on the other side. We're on the far side. And I go, okay, ready? One, two, three. We all run in. There's no rats. Wingy and I scared those rats off, mate. And we waltzed on through and finished it off. But the hardest part of doing these dungeons now is trying to take a screenshot with the drain life, because the bosses don't want to stand still, and we're trying to keep our blueberries alive, and DPS, and at the same time position ourselves to do a drain life, get rid of the UI, and do a screenshot. It takes very cunning timing to achieve that, mate. So.
Admittedly, a self-imposed
goal. Oh, definitely.
As opposed to something hard for the game.
Yes. Yeah. Nothing the game is making us do, but it's having a lot of fun.
In effect, you're creating a Warlock masterclass.
Indeed. Indeed.
It would be good to document this above vocally. With some sort of video, I think.
Yeah, we definitely need to fraps one of these. So our next one is Zulfaric is next on the list, and that, I love that dungeon. So maybe I'll see if I can get a fraps installed and get some
good light in there as well.
Indeed. So yeah, that's been about it. It's been my week. Warlocks and Rogues, mate. Oh, and how could I forget old Black Fuse, that bastard in Siege of Orgrimmar that our flex team's been wiping on over the last couple of weeks? we got him down this week, mate. Got him down.
So a bit of Fandango. Bit of
Fandango. So we're on Gary, mate. Gonna start. Yeah. Start.
Is this where it slows right down now?
Well, nah, mate. This is a pretty well constructed raid team. So if we don't get him down by, I think we'll just one shot him. We should just rock in there and one shot him. I think we should be pretty all right. Yeah. No drama.
Looking forward to that 20 man mythic. What comes after that? Is this on what mode?
Well, this is flex mode. So the next bit will be, you know, should we go in and try some of this in a harder mode? But I'm looking for, and a couple of the guys have deliberately haven't even done Garrosh in LFR. They're like, nah, gonna leave it. Okay. You know, want to do it with a raid team, get the achievement. So.
See this baby in
fur. So I'm looking forward to that.
So this will be your first time in any mode that you're seeing him, or did you?
I LFR'd it. Only because it was part of the legendary chain.
Oh, yeah. Too close. Yeah,
too close, mate.
Seen it twice.
That's it. So, yeah, looking forward to some bit of Gary action.
So you're not seeing anything, you're not seeing any grumblings among your FERT team about,
No,
they're loving it. Good.
And that's it. That brings us to the end of 20. I don't know any songs off the top of my head that have 20 in the lyrics. However, happily enough, I'm a big fan of Matchbox 20. Which is rather odd because they're not even a bad... people know me. They know that pretty much all I listen to is 80s music, because let's face it, that is the best music. So Matchbox 20 would have to be up there with one of my favourite bands, and surprisingly, not an 80s band. No, because when I say, you know, favourite band, I'd be struggling to name anyone other than the lead singer. I like their music, but, you know.
You haven't got posters on the wall, for goodness sake.
So I'm going out with.
So there was a song coming. I just thought you were going to go for the history of this particular band.
You've got to have lyrics, but there's no 20 in the lyrics. I'm just, all I'm saying, it's by the band Matchbox 20.
Okay, I understand.
I'm sorry about the attitude I need to give when I'm with you, but no one else would take this shit from me.
And I'm going to just say goodbye. Goodbye. Bye.
Oh, you made me say bye, you bastard. You bastard.
Thanks for listening to WoW Geekly. To contact us, email wowgeekly@gmail.com or send us a tweet at wowgeekly or abuse the host directly on @Nasheo and @Elgin. And of course, we'd love it if you subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher, and love you even more if you leave a review. Upload complete.